find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. We are thankful that you have chosen to spend the next half hour with us. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, roughly about two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and guess what? About two blocks south of Merritt Avenue. So if you know where the Merritt Park Place subdivision is, we're right in the heart of that. Other landscapes are, we're in the area of Popeye's Restaurant, Tires Plus, Wendy's Restaurant, Pizza Hut, Mila Elementary. You know, if you see any of those, they have us surrounded. They have us surrounded. But you can find us with a GPS. And so we would encourage you to come and visit with us as we worship the Lord. Tonight is Bible study night, and it is also our youth ministry night. And so 7 o'clock is when both of those begin. We do not run extensively late. We know people are in school and things like that. But I believe tonight, if I am not mistaken, we are starting, because I don't teach the Wednesday night. I'm the floater. I'm the guy who goes wherever I'm needed on Wednesday night. So this week I'm in youth ministry, but I believe the adult Bible study is going to involve the authority of the believer. And we need to know what that authority is so that we can walk in it. I do want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. I do know of one project that they're working on. It's a pretty substantial project, and I get to see it quite frequently. And whenever I'm in the area and I drive by, I just kind of like to stop over and look and admire the craftsmanship that they are utilizing on that project. And if you've got a concrete or block need, I encourage you, give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. Unless you prefer using people with no experience, no track record, you don't like people who are rooted and grounded in the community, and you're not sure whether or not they're going to do the job right. If you want someone who has been around for a long, long time, that has a tremendous work ethic, that will deal honestly with you and deal with you in integrity and get the job done right the first time, then I do want you to consider Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. I know of a person one time that was considering doing a concrete job by himself, and he called the folks at Jits Concrete and said, you know what? I can't do the job as inexpensively as they can do the job, and it's going to take me a whole lot longer. And so he ended up going with the folks at Jits Concrete, and I think that you will find choosing them to be your block and concrete provider will work out very, very well for you in the end. 321-536-5804. Today we're going to try and finish Psalm 18. Psalm 18, we are in verse number 49. And it says, well, I'm going to start reading in verse 46 and read to the end of the chapter. This is a Psalm of David. It says, therefore I will, or verse 46, I'm sorry. The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles. and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. So if you look in verse number 49, where it says, therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, you've got to remember that up in verse number 44 and 45, David's testifying about all of these people who were not Jewish, who are coming, and they are becoming part of the kingdom of God. They are coming a part of the Jewish nation. They're doing that voluntarily. And so when David in verse number 49 says, because you have delivered me, you've delivered me from my enemies, you have delivered me from violent men, you have delivered me from people who all they want to do is argue and fight and be filled with controversy. You have delivered me and you've equipped me with strength so that I can do victorious things, and you have taught me how to do spiritual warfare. He said, I am not just going to thank you in silence. I am not just going to thank you privately, but I'm going to thank you publicly in the midst of all of these people who've seen the deliverance that you have brought into my life. You know, David, when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, he did so with a great deal of celebration. He was, the first attempt had been a fatal failure. One of David's friends ended up dying in the process. And so his name was Uzzah, and he reached out and he tried to stabilize the cart that they were transporting that in. And God says, that's a step too far. You know, I think sometimes we may get a little too familiar with the things of God and we lose that awe factor. Please understand that God is a glorious God. It is true, he is our lovingly Heavenly Father. He doesn't want us to be afraid of him or terrified, but he does deserve our full obedience and our full reverence. And when that happened, David got his nose out of joint and said, I ain't bringing that thing into Jerusalem. And so he sent it to the house of Obed-Edom. A few months later, Obed-Edom's house is being blessed like it had never been blessed before. And David's advisors come and said, I think you need to reconsider. David went to the scriptures and reviewed what the Bible said about transporting the Ark of the Covenant. And he said, okay, that wasn't God's fault. That was my fault. We tried to do it the way the Philistines did it instead of doing this the way that God said that we should do it. And so David said, we are going to go about it. We're going to transport this thing the way that God said. And the priest put the poles in the openings for the Ark of the Covenant. They took six steps, and David said, we can't go any further until we thank God. And he offered up a sacrifice. And every six steps, all the way from Obed-Edom's house to Jerusalem, every six steps, David stopped to give thanks to the Lord. Well, everybody in Jerusalem is watching the king with all of this sacrifice and all of this celebration. And Michal, his wife, M-I-C-H-A-L, looks down and sees what is going on, and she already had a bad attitude toward David. She had started off in love with him and ended up being not so much in love with him. And she looked and said, you know, what a disgraceful thing for you to do. And David said, look, the people that you think looked upon me with disgrace are actually highly encouraged by the fact that they are seeing the king that God has delivered over and over again. thank him in a very public manner. He said, I will be held in honor by them. We are not meant to cloister ourselves behind the four walls of the church and for our faith to never darken the atmosphere beyond those four walls. If that was the case, I would not be on this radio station. You couldn't have a Christian bumper sticker on your car. People that do not know Jesus need to know that when they are being pursued by the enemy, that God is not only available to be their savior and their healer, but he's there to be their deliverer as well. But we cannot just continue to live a thankless life and expect that we're going to continue to see the deliverance of God. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Every once in a while, I get this article that repeats in my minister's, one of my minister's newsletters. I don't even really know what organization puts it out. They send out articles 5 days a week, and then they send a recap of those five articles, and they just kind of repackage them a number of times. And so I scan through them and see if there's anything in there. And one of them is, why don't men in church? Another one is, why have congregations stopped singing in church? And, you know, there can be many reasons for that. There are some people who have been told that they can't sing very well, and some of that is true. But God is not looking for, you know, professional singers exclusively. He is looking for people with a thankful heart. And so I know people who said, look, I know that I can't sing. That's not going to stop me from singing to God. And I encourage you, you know, if you have to do what I did when I was a teenager, and that is when I was first exposed to Christian music and I wanted to start singing, believe me, there are people now who do not have any problem exposing my ears to their ungodly music. So what I would do is I would put on my Imperials albums. Okay, the Imperials were really popular back in the late 70s and early 80s. And I'd roll my windows up, and I would put those things on, and I would sing, and that was how I learned to sing, was singing along to these Christian artists who were recording. And I'm not a great singer. I'm not even what I would classify a good singer. But I do not deprive God of my praise and worship. And people, they'd kind of look and they'd laugh and that's all that. And it's like, hey, you know what? I'm not singing for your purpose anyway. So one of the other things is people will say, well, I don't sing and I don't give thanks because I don't know the words. Well, I don't have to know the words to a song in order to express thanks to God. We in our household, we always learned the ability that you know, if we didn't know the words, we could make up our own. And if I wasn't doing that, I could let them sing their worship and I could use my mouth to audibly give thanks to God. But I am not going to let my lack of familiarity with the song deprive God of the thanks that he deserves for delivering me from sin, delivering me from sickness, and delivering me from every trap that the enemy has set in my life. I'm going to thank him and praise him for that. And so another thing that is said is that men just don't sing because they don't feel like, you know, that's their place. Well, last time I knew, some of the most popular people throughout modern history in America were men who sang. I'm not just talking about in Christian circles. I'm talking about people who made a tremendous amount of money using their vocal skills to bring entertainment to people. So you can't use, well, it's not a manly thing, it's not a masculine thing to be able to sing. That's a lie. You were created by God to praise God. And I think that all of us shouldn't be waiting for someone else to break the ice. We should all say, you know what? I'm extremely, extremely thankful that God has delivered me from the violent man. Okay, let me put this into a context for you. If you were in a situation and someone had a personal vendetta against you, and they set out to intentionally take away your life, and someone intervened in that situation at just the last minute to where that person who was plotting to kill you failed and was arrested and put away for the rest of their life, how thankful would you go through the situation and says, oh, well, you know, that was just what they were there to do. They were there. No, I think that if you suddenly found that somebody moved the gun just as the person was pulling the trigger and that bullet whizzed by your ear, I tell you, I've had some situations. I've not had bullets that flew by me or anything like that, but I know people who have, and you become extremely grateful. All of a sudden, you realize the frailty of life, and you experience the goodness of God. See, if the devil was left to his own devices, you'd already be dead. I'd already be dead. He would have no problem wiping out the mass of humanity. He wouldn't care about any future children that were being born. If the devil had his way, he is a thief. He's a murderer and a destroyer. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what he does. It is by the mercy of God, even that is being manifest in the lives of people right now who have no acknowledgement of God, no will to acknowledge God, or they don't even know that God exists. Right now, if you're alive, it's because God has intervened and prevented the enemy from bringing about destruction in your life. Let's not forget to be thankful. When the 10 lepers came to Jesus, he healed them, and he sent them away to the priest to take an offering. And one of them, a Samaritan leper, on the way to show himself to the priest, realized that the leprosy had lost its effect upon him. And he said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to give thanks. And when he got back, Jesus said, where are the other nine? In other words, all 10 of them experienced the same, but only one of them managed to come back and say, thank you. And then Jesus said, go away. And it says he was made whole. It didn't mean just that the leprosy had stopped its deterioration of his body, but I believe that Jesus restored him and restored even that which the leprosy had destroyed. Sing praises to his name. Give thanks. Don't wait for somebody else. Do it yourself. There's enough good things that God has done for you that you can praise him. Verse number 50 says this, "Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore." So I looked up that word deliverance here, and it means great victories he gives to his king. You and I are positioned with Christ. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are a part of the royal household. We are positioned with spiritual authority. And it says here, everything up to this point had been something that God had given. It was something that God would do. We talked about that in verses 25 through 30, of things that he would do. We've talked about things that he has done, but here in verse number 50, David says, he prophesies great deliverance he, God, gives to his, God's king. The person that he is positioned in authority, he gives great deliverance. He gives great victories. I will tell you this, great victories come as a result of great opposition. We don't enjoy the great battles. We don't. They're painful. Sometimes they're injurious. They're always disruptive. But I will tell you this, great opposition, when you have covenant relationship with God and you are living the authority that he has given to you, result in great victories. I don't think that there was much doubt as to the rebellion, how the rebellion of Absalom was going to result. I think that David was going to remain on the throne was a predetermined factor. And there were other things that happened during that situation that there were victories after victories after victories that came about. David experienced his great victories. Recognize that deliverance is God's gift to you. Right now, you may have a great battle on your hands. It might be a substance addiction, okay? It might be alcohol. It might be cigarettes. It might be drugs. I'm telling you, my head just buzzes with trying to grasp the propagation of the acceptance of illegal drugs in our society right now. It is everywhere. Trying to get people to where they think that this drug is going to be their deliverer. Folks, I want you to know, Jesus is the only one that is going to be able to bring about that deliverance. God does not want you just hooked on a substance. He looks to deliver you from the opposition and the attacks of the enemy completely and entirely. For some, it may be sugar. For some, it may be food. For some, it might be television. For some, it might be their computer. There may be 1,000 attacks that the enemy has launched against your life. For some, it might be financial from past decisions that you've made. And I don't care what realm or how those attacks manifest, God wants to bring about great victories, which will result in great praise and thanksgiving, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Can I just set this out? If you will not be delivered for your own self, would you entertain the thought that God could intervene in your life and provide for you a great victory over a great enemy, and that that victory will be a perpetuating gift, not just to you, but to your family, to your children, to your grandchildren, and to every generation after that. There was a person who traced the lineage of two families. One was a God-fearing family and one was not. And it described that the one family that did not have a relationship with God, that they were a perpetuating drain upon society. Their descendants were constantly being in jail, impoverished. They had addictions that were destroying them, and they were a societal drain. The other family was a family who instilled faith and responsibility into every generation. And instead of being a drain on society, they ended up being influencers of society generation after generation after generation. And they rose with excellence instead of spiritual complacency. They just continued to press on and grow, and it became a generational blessing instead of a generational curse. At Merit Assembly of God, our purpose, the reason that we exist, is to be a blessing. To be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to the church, to be a blessing to our community, to be a blessing to our families, to be a blessing around the globe. And I pray that you and I will allow God to bring about such great victories in our life that instead of people looking and saying, oh, wow, look at that. They're cursed just like their daddy was and like their grandfather was and their great-grandfather. It's just part of that family that they just have difficult times. Let's be a people who experience the generational blessing of God, and let's not forget that if he's shown mercy to us, we need to be people who will show mercy to other people. God bless you. May today be a day filled with great victories.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.